Thanks, Ron. I think the cost of that, Scott, isn't that about $20? Yeah, $20, and that's cart and everything. So, and you don't have to be a good golfer because I'm there. Yeah, there's a sign-up sheet at the guest booth out there. So, is that what that's called? I'm okay. Welcome Center. Yeah, it's there. Whatever's out there, it's there. Are you good? Hey, we're almost into August. But I did hear some, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, but I did hear the guy that invented the TV remote passed away. Yeah, they found him in between this couch cushions. Well, you need to laugh after some of the stuff's going on in the Olympics, because that is pretty stupid, just so you know, if you haven't seen, but most of you have probably seen. So aren't you glad that we serve a God that is a lot bigger and better than anything that man can mess with? And he's just amazing. Well, let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless you guys. I'm excited to talk these next 2 weeks, but I'm also, it's stuff I've talked about before, and it's controversial, which isn't shocking for me to be talking. But still, I've really never taught it from the angle I'm going to be teaching. The Lord is showing me. And here's the thing. I asked the Lord, I'm like, I don't know if you want me to teach this. I feel like I'm the poster child for the other side on some of this, or I'm working my way doing it as well and working my way through. We just did a whole series on Walk It Out. How many, you know, that just happened. And so we were learning how to just walk some things out. And this next 2 weeks is called Nuts and Bolts. So this is like putting the rubber on the road and putting kingdom laws in practice. And when I talked to the Lord about this, we could pack this place out if we just offered chicken. Had fried chicken, free fried chicken, and I gave you a really sweet message of whatever. And I'm not saying we would never offer you chicken, and I would never give a sweet message, but I want to be obedient in what the Lord is doing. But some of these things are what differentiates or what separates from just every other church in the USA, so to speak. There are great churches here, so I'm not slamming anybody. I'm just saying, I went to church all my life and didn't know these laws, didn't know these principles. And these have changed my life, literally changed my life. And he actually rebuked me, and he said, why would you not share? I'm like, okay. So I need you to bear with me. I need you just to, I'm not going to tell you anything that's not in this book. I promise you that. Okay? And you can take me to task on that. You can look up any scripture, and I give you plenty every week. So some of you are out there like, oh, dear Lord, what's he going to talk about? I want us to talk nuts and bolts. How do we access heaven's abundance? We talk about it, but how do we do it? How does it happen? Next week, I'm going to talk about the power of a measure. So we, you know, somebody says, oh, you need to do this. Well, how much is this? Or you need to, so how do we know? We'll talk about that next week. So this is just nuts and bolts, okay? But it will change your life if you grab some truth out of this. Because I'm not making it up. I'm going to tell you things from my own life, tell you things that I know are true and know that happened. I'll back it up with the Word of God. And I double dog dare you to try it. For real. I want to make things clear. The kingdom works for anyone that applies it. That statement alone, people are like, uh-uh. Because last week I wanted to clarify because I said, if people think, if you're not a believer, then it won't work for you. The law still works. Does that make sense? The law will still work. Now, you may not be able to maintain it because you're not tied to God to get other wisdom or to carry out to the fullest. There's people that don't know Christ and they have tapped into something. They don't really know what it is. But we need that relationship with Jesus to sustain our walk, to know how to continue. See, a lot of us, we Lord, I want the castle. We're a nation that wants. I want the castle. But you got to be able to pay the castle's taxes and insurance. And we don't think of all that. Or, you know, when I was a kid, I had a Trans Am. And it looked like Smokey and the Bandits. Didn't have the T-tops, but I was a bad dude in it, man. It was black, had the big gold eagle on it. It had a 454 in it for you men out there. That baby would fly. It was automatic, but if I put my foot on the pedal, it would squeal just shifting gears just going down the road. It was awesome. I about threw my grandma in the back seat. I said, Grandma, I'm going to go around this truck. And she said, Laws! And we were going 90 like that. And she's the only one that can call me Bratsy. Bratsy! So anyway, it was an amazing car. But you could almost watch the speedometer go up and the gas gauge go down. Which back in that day, how many remember when gas, I remember getting gas for, you know, under a dollar. And now, you know, we've been getting it at Sam's Club over by our house for $3.17 and thinking, what a blessing. But anyway, you know, you start realizing, okay, that was a cool car. I really liked it. Would I have one again? Sure, I would. But it's not really a family car. And I couldn't pass up too many gas stations without pulling in again. So maintaining stuff. God, how does this happen? What are the nuts and bolts to be able to have the kingdom manifest in our homes? I know that's what Kim and I want, and we both talk, you know, we're doing the same thing too. It's not like I'm on the other side saying, come on over. And we're working our way over there. We're figuring it out and walking it out. We know this, God's not a lotto machine. He's not a game of chance. He's not Santa Claus. His love for you isn't dependent on whether you being naughty or nice. That goes with the Santa Claus. He loves you no matter what. But it's just understanding, like, okay, God, how does this work? How does this function? What is my position to do in this? And most of the dangers I come across are people and their understanding of the kingdom and principles, because I'm not saying it's always been taught right, because it's been taught almost in some ways from a slant of just money, 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 gimme, 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 and all of that. And some people are just looking for that to have something. And there'll be people that may be mad because I'm talking about this, but we need to understand what the Bible says. Not what I say, what the Bible says. And if God said it, and he wants you to be able to live better than you are, would you not want to do that? If you had something better for your kids and they said, I don't want it, you'd be like, Most people, when I talk to them, they say they're a believer. My question would be, okay, what do you believe? Do you have a scripture that you're standing on? Most don't. Now, the last thing I want to do in this next 2 weeks is hurt somebody's faith. Like, oh, I tried it. I sowed, and it didn't work for me. That's like the people, I tried to tithe. Nothing happened, so I quit tithing after that first week. I can't help you. This is a heart issue. That's what this is. This isn't just something I do. This is who I am. This is a way of life. There have been times we've been in, and I've seen it abused, where Kim and I both sat there and thought, I am not giving, because I didn't feel right. I didn't have a peace. And the Bible talks about, I'm not going to be manipulated. I'm not going to manipulate you today. So just take a deep breath, okay? This is about your heart and what's your motivation. If it's just, I just want to do this to get more so that I have more, so that I'm... That's wrong. This is about walking in the kingdom so people see, like, wow, you're blessed, and just keep giving stuff away. That's what we want to do. That's our heart. We want to be able to help as many people as we can. Are we fully persuaded? What word are we standing on when we believe? Let's look at some examples in the word. Now, here's a woman that's terribly in debt. She came to the prophet, asked him what to do. Her husband had died, and they're going to take her sons into slavery. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." This is important. This is our first point for today. So if you're taking notes, you're going to want to take these things down. If not, you're going to want to get this recording and then write them down. Because what I'm about to share with you are the things that Kim and I do. And I promised I would do that. It's easier for me just to shut up and just do them and then have you wonder and then I don't have to say anything. But the Lord, like, do you really want me to teach this? So here we go. Are you ready? You still going to love me? Nobody has any tomatoes, right? Okay. This is a very important principle. This is our first one. You have to find something that's under your legal dominion that you can sow. And I'm going to explain it. You have to find something that's under your legal dominion that you can sow. It has to be under your jurisdiction, your authority. The prophet says, "What shall I do for you?" Or your Bible may say it, depending on the version, "How can I help you? What do you have in your house?" And she says, "I don't have anything but a jar of oil." So if you can, you want to sow something of the substance that you have need for. Now, I'm going to explain. Let's say you needed clothes. We have been there. We started ministry. I had some corduroy jeans, a couple flannel shirts, long sleeve shirts, and some cowboy boots. And I'm going to go into ministry, and I'm thinking, I don't have anything. So I didn't even know this principle. But we sewed clothes. We gave clothes away. And guess what we got back? Clothes. Not junk. See, that's the thing with Christians. A lot of times we'll give everybody our hand-me-down. I have no more use for it. It's got holes in it, but you can have it. Beggars can't be choosers. Stop that. If God wants you to sow something, you sow whatever he tells you. I've had people try to give to the church. One guy tried to give a chair that had holes in it and the stuffing and springs are popping out. And he wanted me to write on the thing that he donated $500 and some to the church because he gave the chair. I'm like, I wouldn't have gave him 5 cents for the chair. So he got mad and he left the church. I'm just saying, we have to have a mindset of the kingdom. And that's what we're doing and what we're believing we're changing. We're changing our mindsets. If you need a new jacket, give your jacket away. There'll be other jackets coming. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. So again, I'm talking from my own life. I was on staff and had a guy every Sunday, if I wore this suit jacket, he came up to me and said, "I love that jacket. I want your jacket." He was not shy. He would just say, "I want it." And I'd be like, "Go away. Just go away." And he'd be, "I love that jacket." And then I'd come in and, "Where's your jacket?" If I had it on the chair, he'd always want to know where it was. And finally, the Lord told me one Sunday, he said, "Let him try it on." I'm like, I don't want to let him try it on. But I felt the Lord said, so I took it off. Wouldn't you know it fit him perfectly? He looked, he goes, "I look good. Well, I can't take it back." The Lord's like, "Give it to him." I said, "You can have it." He goes, "What?" I said, "You can have it." Oh, I got it to me. I didn't say anything, just let him go. And I walked back home. We lived in the parsonage next door. She said, "Where's your jacket?" I said, "It's walking right there. Not mine anymore." Okay, here's my point. In 2 weeks, a guy didn't even know that. I didn't tell the story, didn't know that. Comes up and says, "You got a second, pastor?" "Yeah." "God told me I'm supposed to take you to buy a sport jacket. Does that make sense to you?" I'm like, "Okay." He bought me 2. So I still don't know what's going on. I'm just walking with God, and I'm like, "Well, thank you, God." But see, I don't understand that I enacted a spiritual law. I haven't been taught that. I didn't know that. I wasn't delving in to even try to find that out. I'm just like doing church that we always did church. Oh, if it happens, if it's God's will. How many did that? Oh, it's just God's will. We have no role to play. It's easy to blame God for everything. We want 500 loads of wheat and we only sow, like, and we're just like, it didn't come through. We don't understand spiritual law. Kim had, I don't know if it's still real popular now, but back in the day, Vera Bradley was real popular. And that's, all you ladies know Vera Bradley. It's just really nice cloth purses and stuff. And you can get matching pocketbooks and stuff. She loved Vera Bradley. She still has some because it just doesn't wear out. It's just really good stuff. And again, somebody goes, I just love your purse. I just love it. Love it. So the next time I see Kim, she's coming to me. She's got all of her stuff in her arms. I'm like, where's your purse? And she said, over there. So she sewed it into that lady. And again, we don't know what we're doing other than being obedient. So you with me so far? In about 2 weeks, she got like 5 Vera Bradley purses and stuff. They just started coming in. I was in a service. My dad had given me a watch. God said, take your watch off and hand it to the guy behind you. Took my watch off. I handed it to the guy behind me. My dad was in that service. It was a Seiko watch with a diamond chip in it. So I remember because he thought that was great because I think he said he found it and he gave it to me as a present. And I didn't know this, but the guy behind me had told the Lord, and I told you the story. It's been a while, but he said, I'm done. Lord, if you're real, he just named something. Have somebody give me a watch. I didn't know that. I gave him a watch. And you know, in the next 2 weeks, watches were coming in all over. The UPS guy came in. He just walks into the church office and goes, take it. I just went, I don't even know him. I didn't know his name or anything. He took his watch off, put it on the desk, and walked out. He knows nothing about what happened. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm tapping into something. We did it with computers. We gave a family needed a computer. We had extra here. We'll just give you this. We'll just sow into you. That's an easy Christianese term. We'll just sow into you. 5 computers started showing up. Hey, we got an extra computer. Do you want it? Hey, we need it. We had computers coming in all over the place. Now, you can, you know, if you need something and say, I want more of this, you could buy that, sell that. Or trade it in for more of that, or you could take money, and according to Paul, money can be named. And I'll teach you that as well. So if I didn't have that substance to sow, if somebody said they needed milk, I could go buy milk and give that to them and sow that, or I could just give them money for milk. Because on the earth system, money is just a bartering. It's just exchange. It's just for your time. They're paying you for your job. God doesn't have any money. In our mind, we think that he's just up and he's like Scrooge McDuck and he has all of this. He makes streets of gold. He doesn't have a stockhouse of money. Money is manufactured here in the earth system. And it is the bartering system here. So being able to name it, but again, been abused. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. I just made that one up. But it's been abused. It's been just, but needing to understand this is a heart motivation, a following the kingdom, a heart issue. Number 2, so if you have something, you're going to sow what you have need of. Because it, let's look, you know, in the Bible, loaves and fish multiplied to what? But what was multiplied? Loaves and fish. This oil multiplied to what? Oil. You see, it will multiply itself. Sometimes you don't, what you have need of, you don't have that substance. That's why it's nice that God said, you can sow and you can name money as, God, this is what I need. Maybe you need more money. I don't. Or maybe you just need this. And we'll get there. What you're going to sow, here's number 2. Release it into the kingdom of God. Speak over it when we release it into the kingdom. We're believing for multiplication. That's what Jesus did. They brought the loaves and fish to him. He spoke over them. You know, when you speak over it, it's voice activated. Faith is voice activated. So is the other. Unbelief, voice activated. Well, when you speak over it, you separate it. You take the jurisdiction of it off the earth system, and you, by your authority, because it's in your care, your jurisdiction, your dominion, and you move it into the kingdom, you speak over that. And it releases, then it gives God, we do it every offering, gives God now legality to move, because now you have taken it out of here and put it over here in the spiritual. And God says, now I can, but he won't do anything if you don't do that. He can't. Part of my issue sometimes is I didn't speak over things. Sometimes we just sow it and we wouldn't talk over it. We wouldn't speak over it. We didn't give it assignment. I paid it like I would a bill, my tithe, like a bill. Now, tithe is a whole separate issue, but still, you can speak over that stuff. I wasn't giving it an assignment, being deliberate. I didn't separate it into the kingdom of God. I didn't release it with faith, with my words. Did you know your words are important? And again, let's follow Jesus. That's what he did. If I didn't do it and the Holy Spirit showed me, I would do it again. Does that make sense? I would just sow again and I would speak over it, releasing it into the kingdom. Now here's another, this is my dear story. This is how Pastor and I got connected. Because we had, these stories actually happened after I met Pastor. But I was a hunter but I had sowed for an 8-point. That's pretty specific. I won an 8-point. I didn't see anything. Then I realized, by the Holy Spirit, I didn't speak over my seed. So I did it again. And I felt to sow, this is what I sowed. I sowed $10. So before you know, like, oh my gosh, he's just, I don't think $10 is breaking the bank. So you know what I mean? That's what I felt to sow. So that's what I sowed. I sowed 10 bucks, no pun intended. But I'm sowing for an 8-point buck. I went out the next day excited because I realized I hadn't spoken over it before. And so I did this time. But I didn't get much sleep, as many hunters can probably, because you're always waiting on that next morning. You're thinking, oh, man, I'm going to go out. It's going to be there. And so it was hard to sleep. So I sat on a 5-gallon bucket at the bottom of a small hill on my property. And I had carved into the tree in a big heart, I love Kim. I was bored. But I do love Kim. I put it in 2 trees on that property. But, you know, while I'm sitting there waiting, I thought I might as well do something. Well, I got tired. I fell asleep. And I set my gun up against another little sapling by the tree I was leaned up against. I got orange on. I'm just like this, crossed my legs, pulled my ball cap down. I'm asleep. I wake up, and from me to PK is an 8-point deer laying on the ground. And I wake up, he's looking at me like, what you talking about, Willis? And he's just staring at me. He hasn't even gotten up. And I'm like, I'm not dreaming. He's there. I'm pinching myself. And I'm looking. My gun is right there, but I'm not holding it. So I'm And he stands up. I get a hold of my gun. Bring it over. I'm so excited. I'm starting to shake. And he just stares at me. He stands up. He's standing broadside like, hi, Brett. How you doing? Then he takes off. I shoot 3 times, miss every time. Now, here's the point. I had to start asking the Lord, and I'm learning now. I didn't even know this then. So I'm telling you, some of this is as fresh to me as you're hearing it. Why was that 8-point there? Why couldn't it have been a doe? Matter of fact, why would any deer be stupid enough to be laying there when I'm out in the open. And I'm sure, according to Kim, I'm probably making noise if I'm asleep. I'm telling you right now, the deer was there because it had no choice, because it was held by spiritual law. I put that law into effect when I spoke over the seed and I sowed it and put it into the kingdom. It brought that harvest. And that's why it stood there. It isn't God's fault that I can't shoot, or I'm just waking up, or whatever. God did his part. I just messed it up. But he held it there by spiritual law. Here's number three. Release when you're in faith. Release your faith when you're in faith. I know that sounds... The formula is not faith. Your faith is not in the action. It has to be based on the word. And so many times, believers will be like, I know, man, if I just go get so-and-so to pray for me, if so-and-so prays for me, I'll get healed. Well, they might be anointed, but there are gifts of healing and all that. And I get that. But if your faith is in the action of having laid hands on me, that's how I'm going to get healed, or so-and-so praying, that's in that action. Your faith needs to be based on the word that says that action. Does that make sense? Let me explain. Instead of saying, I have good seed in the ground, so God will blank. You've misplaced your faith. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest, and there's sowing and reaping. And this is what the Bible says about sowing. And so because I've obeyed the word, because the word says this, I'm thankful that the word says this, and I did what the word said. Because the word says this, I know my harvest is coming. There's a difference there. Now, there's a line there. They both sound the same, but there's a difference there. My faith isn't in the action. It's in the word that declares the action. Are we on the same page? It's important you know that. It's so quiet. If your confidence is just in the fact that you sowed, that's wonderful. But it's misplaced. It has to be the confidence of the word. I'm going to do what the word says. Because the word says this, I'm doing that. And because the word never is wrong, it's based on what the word says. I just submitted myself into the word. The action demonstrates faith, but may not be faith. You have to understand there's that line of just your heart motivation. The Bible says that I'm confident that I received 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That word hearing means like an attorney would take a case, not just with your audible ear. That means like he hears what you're saying. Not just like he listened, but just like, okay, now this is a jurisdiction issue. This is a legal issue now, and God will take the case because you are using the kingdom. And we have the petitions that we ask him. So sometimes when I pray for people and they're sick and they come up for prayer, I ask them, why do you believe you'll be healed? Some of them don't know what to say. They just stare at me, kind of like the deer when I woke up. They can't quote a scripture. What word are you standing on? That doesn't mean God won't heal them. It doesn't mean that gift can't flow, but they need to understand how this can function. But they don't have anything to anchor themselves to. They've just at the end of their rope. And I'm not saying that, I'm not bashing anybody, because I think we've all been there. Thank God for his mercy and grace. And thank God that, you know, gifts of healing happen and miracles happen and gifts of faith happen. And we're thankful for that. And I'm not making little of all of that. But sometimes you have to walk things out. Come on, can I get an amen? Sometimes you're like, hey, this is something I have to continually stand on. You have to have something then to stand on. Faith is anchored to the word, not the process of whoever's praying. It needs to be anchored to the word. Does that make sense? Here's some common questions. How do I know if I'm in faith? Pop quiz, you ready? Didn't you hate pop quizzes in school? Okay, we're going to have a pop quiz. I don't want a pop quiz. I used to hate that. But anyway, close your eyes. What do you see? The Bible says you're healed by his stripes. Close your eyes. Do you see yourself healed? This is something the Lord just showed me. I mean, again, just getting a picture. If I told everybody, look at me real quick. If I told everybody, pizza. You can picture pizza. Everybody can pick. We might say, what kind? Donato's, Domino's, Tubby's. Whatever your favorite kind of pizza is. DiGiorno. I don't know. But you can picture pizza. If I said vanilla ice cream cone, we'd all go, woo. If I said Starsky and Hutch Torino, anybody that's cool would know what that is. But we could picture that. But if I said yourself completely well, can Brett? You see, we struggle with that, but God wants you to get a picture of what that would look like. Can you visualize that? I'm just here to tell you, because I've walked through stuff, still walking through stuff. Pain speaks pretty loud, doesn't it? You want to see something, but it's like every step you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you. Oh, can't you see? No. But I mean, you just like, oh, it just, I mean, this is hurting. And why isn't it leaving? And God, where is the stopper? What happens? How about finances? Can you see yourself making 6 or 7 figure income? No, Brett, I'm a 35,000 person. That's where you stay. Because all of our faith, every one of us, we have different, but we all have a choke point. What we were like, I just can't see that. Some things are easier for you, maybe harder for me. Some things are easier for me, maybe harder for you. You could say, somebody could say, I could see them being healed. I just can't see myself being healed. Because it's just, for whatever reason, it's easier. I can see God doing that for them. I can't see him doing that for me. That's your choke point. If you can't see it, you can't seize it. You have to know that he wants you well if you need healed. That's his will. He wants you well. So am I in faith? Close your eyes. What do you see? Faith sees the answer. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, the seed of the promise of God carries a picture, and it incubates in your spirit. In other words, it develops in there and produces a picture. The longer you stay with God, the more you walk with God, you start seeing things. When I started this church, he said, Brett, here, start this church. Here's what I want you to call it. Here's the scripture. And he gave me John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he gives me all that. But he doesn't say, in the next 5 years, do this, 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 and this. I've never started a church before. He just gives it to me like what I could handle at the time. Are you with me? We talked about, he just does stuff. He's not going to give you stuff that you can't, if you trust him, you deal with it. Mark 4:30, this is Jesus. He said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or to what parable shall we picture it? So formula is not faith. Electric lines are not the power. They carry the power. Make sense? They carry the power. They're put together right, so they carry the power. Can you defend your position spiritually? Why are you believing you're healed? Why are you believing funds will come in because you need help? Why? What are you standing on? What word? People tell me I believe. That's great. What do you believe? Believe what? Tell me. We have to be able to answer those questions. Be specific. What does God say about your situation? Does God say, I want you sick? There's no scripture in there that says he wants you sick. It is his will that you be well. God's trying to teach me something. That's not in there either. That's a man doctrine. I've prayed for people and God's healed them. They weren't anchored to the word, and their roots weren't deep, and it didn't take for something else long, and then they'd be, you know, something else was going haywire. And that's, everybody can be susceptible to that. That's why you have to anchor yourself to the Word of God. Defend what you believe and why. Listen, a symptom of being in faith is joy. And this is ministered to me. Because if you have your answer, you have peace, and that nagging voice of fear isn't talking anymore. You're expectant. You're in faith. When I go hunting and I'm in faith, I've believed, I've sowed, I was in agreement with Kim. I don't go if the deer will show up. I go knowing the deer's going to show up. Where is he going to show up at, or whatever I'm sowing for? What's the best shooting lane for me to take this deer? That's what I think. I'm not going, huh. I'm expecting. I'd say the great thing about faith is to go out when I'm supposed to go out and know that I'll get what I'm supposed to get. That's pretty huge. I mean, everybody in here is a hunter. Ladies just hunt for different things. You know, Kim finds deals. Look at this. Look at this. This is awesome. This is on sale. It used to be $500. Get it today for $450. It's a deal. And, you know, she can, I mean, these don't work just on, this isn't just for deer hunting. I'm just saying this could apply for anything. If you're in fear and continually fighting that, then we're not totally in faith, are we? I'm preaching to myself. Stay with me. I know it's not no fun to hear. You can tell I was homeschooled. Not no fun. Well, I wasn't homeschooled. I was in charge of homeschoolers. It was one of the better decisions I've ever made. It was really gooder. Sorry. You can't really pray the prayer of faith if you're not in faith, can you? I mean, we can be the cowardly lion. And just because we recite it doesn't make it happen. Now, voice activates, we get that, but if we're not in faith, are we activating the right thing? It isn't always quick. Sometimes you don't have that, oh, I'm just expecting, I have that peace. So what do you do, Brett? You have to let the Word argue the case in your spirit. Now, listen to what I'm saying. You have to get into the Word, read the Word of God over and over again, get different scripture, get in there until that argues against your spirit. Your spirit's connected to God's. Let God's spirit, you got to let God, let that word do what it's supposed to do. Let it grow inside you. Then you can pray and stand. When you are completely convinced, fully persuaded, your belief system will follow the Word of God if that's what you believe. Once you prayed the prayer of faith, write it down. What do you mean? Just what I said. If you are sowing and believing, write it down. James 4 talks about how you ask and all that. And Jesus told the enemy, it is written. And for me, I just took this from Pastor Gary. I found it easier if I wrote it down. If I sowed for something and I believed, I wrote down the time. I wrote down the day, the date, what I sowed for, what we were believing for, and the scripture that I stood on. Because the enemy will come for what? The word. So I can pull that word out. If I had to carry it with me, I could. But right now, I just look at it, and I just quote it. I received it on this day, at this time in the morning. I believe I receive, according to Mark 11:24, when I prayed, it's done in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for that right now. Because there's always a gap between the amen and there it is. There's always something between the time it shows up. Sometimes you sow and it happens immediately. Those don't happen all the time. I love it when that happens. I mean, I did one time. I was in church and I was born again, but I didn't like giving. And I didn't like they were going to take an offering and I was not happy. And we didn't have any money. I mean, if we could live on looks, we'd be millionaires because she's got them. But we had $10. That's what I had. And I felt the Lord telling me, sow the $10. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. Because we got to church. You ever did that? Your tank's on W for walk. We didn't have any gas. We didn't have any food. We were going to take $10, and I was going to probably buy bologna, some white bread, maybe a bag of chips, and put a couple dollars of gas in the car. And he said, give $10. I leaned over to her and said, I feel like God's telling me to give $10. And I was going to say, but I don't know that that's God, and I don't want to do it. And this is what she said. Go ahead. You should give it. I could just see me after church. This is the picture I had in my mind, pushing my car. And Kim going, faster! No, she won't. So she said, did it. So this is what I did. And I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you where I've been. They, back in that day, they had those gold trays. I hated those. Because everybody could see what you put in them. Then they had these bags. I liked the bags because you could act like you could put something in there or not. I'm just being honest. Sometimes you looked at people that said, I think they took something out. I never did that. But I mean, I was just a newer Christian, and I'm like, I didn't have the money, and I didn't understand spiritual law. And so here comes the plate, and the ushers are just standing there, you know. Nothing against Scott, you and your ushers. But they're just standing there, and they're, you know, they hand the plate down one aisle, they go to the next, and everybody's just, and I'm like, I hate that. Now I'm going to tell you something else I've done. So just so that you know, have you ever put in an empty envelope? Don't look at me like that. We've all probably done that. Maybe you haven't, but I have. You know why? Because I didn't like poor. And I felt like in the earth system, isn't that what we do? We hoard. Don't take it. You can't have it. In the kingdom, it's we give. Now you can not like it if you want. But I've been a lot more blessed giving than I have been hoarding. But I took that $10, and this is what I did. I threw it in that, I did, just threw it down just like that. Pow. Almost like, Dad, you playing euchre. I threw that down there. I didn't say anything, and I crossed my arms, and I sat there in church. Almost like, I dare you to bless me. I didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't try talking to her. She probably squeezed me on the knee, held my hand. I mean, she, you know, she's wonderful about that. But I was mad. Because I'm just, at the back in the day, I was just a stubborn dude. And we got out to the foyer, and I just wanted to get to the car, get Mal, and we probably had Zach then, and let's go home. Might have just been Mal. Mal would have just been a little squeaker. And I still don't know who the guy was. It was a bald older gentleman. I just know that. He stopped me and said, hey, turned around. I didn't get to shake your hand. Huh. Okay. And I felt something in his hand. And I pulled it away. And there was $10. And he leaned over to me and he said, the Lord told me to tell you he can get it back to you just as quick as you can give it. And he just stared at my eyes. And I was just like, and he turned around and walked away. And I just sat there like, so she's like, what is it? I got her $10 back. I mean, I have story after story after story that God has just shown me about spiritual law, about things that I was believing that I didn't even know that I tapped into and then tried to figure it out. Write it down. So then you and the enemy comes and says, that's never going to happen. It's written on this day, this time. Shut up. I already received it. I got it. I'll have the evidence. It'll show up here real soon. So, and you can be expectant and you can have joy. Mark 11:24 says so. And that's a key factor. As soon as you pray, you thank him. The issue is settled. No worries, no fear. Stand on the word. And you make that word your word. You hear me? The word of God, that's where your allegiance is. That becomes your word. How specific, Pastor, should it be? That's a good question. I prayed for specific points on my deer, and that's what comes. Really? Yeah. I prayed for a 7-point. I got a 7-point. Prayed for a 4-point. I got a 4-point. Sam prayed for a 10-point. That's what he got. I prayed for a 6-point. That's what showed up, because that's what I had a choke point. Sam said, I want a 10-point. I said, I've not seen a 10-point in our woods. Well, actually, it wasn't even our woods. It was just around our property. I said, let's do a 6-point. I've seen 6-point. I don't want a 6-point, Dad. I want a 10-point. I said, no, 6-point. So when we prayed and he sowed, I said 6-point. Guess what came across the field? Now listen, again, spiritual law. Why was it a 6-point? Why couldn't it have been a doe? Why would a deer have to come at all? But a 6-point came right up. And again, as close as me is to PK. Stood there sideways. I didn't have a gun. And it's just... And Sam is closer than me. He's like to the corner. And I'm going, shoot it. Shoot it. And he won't. And then after about, that deer stood there for probably a minute. Now that's a long time if you're just watching. And then just trotted off. And I'm like, Sam. And he turned around to me and said, Dad, that was your deer, not mine. And the next day, he got his 10 point. Now the story even goes on. This is how specific. The next weekend, I'm going out. And I put on my check a 4-point or an 8-point. And I sat out on the tree line, just down from where Sam and I sat. Because he had just got a 10-point there. We saw the 6-point the day before. So the next weekend, I'm out there. Out of the woods comes running parallel. Again, probably from, I'm at the drum cage from where PK is. Side by side, a 4-point and an 8-point. Shut the front door. And they both stop and stare at me. And I'm like, what is going on? And this is what God said to me. He said, choose. So I shot the 4-point because I already had an 8-point mounted and the 4-point was bigger. But I took all that back and I'm like, what is happening? I am tapping in to something that is much bigger than me, but it's spiritual law. Do you have that much authority in the kingdom? You do. Jesus killed a fig tree by just speaking to it. People are killing their own lives by their own mouth and they don't even know it. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what's supplication? Your Bible may say petition. You know, I didn't bring it today, but we prayed and sowed for a forerunner. I just got specific because she told me, I said, oh, I'll take this or this. And she said, you need to be specific. Which one do you want? I don't know. So I went to the dealership and I drove both. So I said, I want the 4Runner. And she said, okay, I'll be in agreement with you. So we prayed the prayer of agreement. I have it sitting in my house. 2017 looks like brand spanking new. Over $35,000 paid off in full. I never made one payment on it. And nobody from this church did it. I mean, it just happened because I put spiritual law in force. So I believed and prayed. So petition. Prayer is the vehicle. Petition. What is petition? It's the details. That's what that is. What are you believing for? What are the details? Specifics. What kind of car? What kind of this or what kind of whatever you need? Let the word convince you. I know it's 11:45. I just have a few minutes. Are you good? We lived on High Point Road, and I sowed for what I thought was a buck. And I saw a buck off in the distance, but it never came over to me. So that was a first, because whatever I sowed for, it usually came and stood under my stand or wherever I was sitting. I didn't shoot. A doe came over and stood right in front of me, just like the other deer I told you, and then just trotted off. So I was like, I don't get it. So I prayed, and the Lord told me to check my seed. And, you know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will reveal mysteries to you. Well, back in that day, we put all of our tithe checks and stuff, we put them on the refrigerator with magnets. And so we would write them out, and we'd put them on there, and then we'd just give them, as soon as we got paid, you know, we'd do that, and then we'd bring them into church or whatever. But on my check, I looked, and it said in the memo section, a buck or just a good deer. And that's what I spoke. I'm believing God for a buck or just a good deer. So why did the doe show up? Because that's all that needed to show up. The buck didn't have to show up because it's that specific. And that's what I prayed. So I'm like, okay, God, I get it. So we have to think kingdom thoughts. Lord, this is, that's amazing. So what are you saying? It's that specific. So let me ask you, what do you have in your life that you don't want there that you put there? By your words. Start thinking about that. When you sow and release your faith, you put into action spiritual law. So you have that level of faith. I had a young guy that used to attend this church, and he always wanted to make something hard. You ever meet somebody like that? They've always done it better, bigger, and I bet you can't do this. Or blah, 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 blah. How about if I'm praying for a 128-point buck? Here's a movie, Jason and the Argonauts. Go watch it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, I don't even know if there's a buck that big that exists. But I know there's been times that I sowed, even at my house last year, I never felt I was supposed to go out, and I went out anyway, and I sowed for a buck. And I said, Lord, he didn't show up, and he said he wasn't in your woods. Because our woods is more of a, they just travel because there's public land, and they go through my woods and go someplace else. He just, like, there wasn't an 8-point in your woods. So listening to the Holy Spirit, which will be our next point, I'll show with you, you have to follow the plan. I didn't even need to go out. If I would have went out when he told me, the buck would have been there. But you stay at your level of faith. I don't know about you, but I don't have faith for a 128-point buck. Neither did that kid. But you stay, you know, again, there's that choking point. You got to be fully persuaded. I'm going to tell you this story, and this we're getting pretty close. And I know, I mean, I've got a lot in here, but you really need to understand this. You don't want to walk away and make this a 4-part message. So just give me a few more minutes. I don't have a whole lot more. This is Pastor Gary's story real quick. Drinda told him, you need a trophy on your wall. And he had gotten many deer. And he's like, but he said, I've never seen a big deer in our woods. She said, you need a trophy to put on your wall to show people how good the kingdom is. He said, Drinda, I don't know. And she said, I'll tell you what. I'll believe for the trophy. You believe for the deer. He said, okay, you're on. So that's what they did. He believed, this is where his faith was. He believed for a 4-point. He said that was where his faith was, because he thought, that's easy. I can get a 4-point. No pick. And she said, I'll believe for the trophy. So he gets out to his property, and I'm just condensing this. He nicks. Here comes a 4-point, comes right up to him, and he's so nervous. It's called buck fever if you're a hunter. And anyway, he just nicked the deer, and the deer took off. He never could find it. He said he doesn't think he hit it at all, but just nicked it, found a little blood spot, but that's it, nothing else. So he tracked it. He couldn't find it, and he was tired. He was about to head back to the house. And this 55 yards away, this buck jumps up. He said, and he's got his crossbow. He said, and it's one of those you just kind of, he said, I still remember the arrow flying. He said, and the deer dropped. Boom. He went over, counted the points. Before he even did that, he walks over and he goes, that's Drinda's buck. 26 points. And he's got it on his wall. I mean, dressed out at like 240 pounds. It's, one of the biggest deer in Ohio. I mean, it's just huge buck. That's Drinda's buck. And he said that. So my point is, when you sow, that's the value of partnership. He partnered with his wife. So, like if you sow into True Life Church, we partner with you, you partner with us. We believe with you, you'll believe with us. We'll believe for the things to happen with you, you'll believe for the things to happen with us. Paul talked about Philippi, if you remember the Philippians, they blessed him, and he was like, you're the only church that's doing it. I just really appreciate that. And then comes in Philippians, the scripture we all know. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. We quote that all the time. Listen to the way Paul says it. He doesn't say your God. He says my God. Take note of that, because you partnered. What he's telling them is, because you helped me, my God is going to help you. Does that make sense to you? When you partner and you're in the same faith and you are on that same length and you're in agreement, I hope you're getting this. My faith becomes your faith becomes my faith. Number four, follow the plan and instruction of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've told you the story. If I told you, you could make, you know, Pastor Gary gives that story, $2 million, and you'd say, I can't see myself doing that. But if I told you, let's make it fun, if I told you to box 500 Funko Pops, which Arrow would love that, and put them in a box, and I'll give you $1,000 a box, and you could do 500 a day, you'd be like, wow, that's 4 days. I could see myself in $2 million in 4 days. Well, you didn't, nothing changed in you except you have a plan. And that's what happens. When you believe God, he'll give you a plan. And it'll change everything. Once you release your faith, God will bring you a plan. Plan brings hope. And then once you have the plan, you just have to walk it out. You got it. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts of the plans, your Bible may say. I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, give you a future and a hope. God made you for on purpose, for a purpose. Once you have the plan, the location, the timing, the details, be in agreement with your spouse when you're married. Just be in agreement. Now let me stop real quick because I get this asked too. What if my husband and wife, or, you know, if your husband, what if you're not in agreement? What's agreement mean? Agreement is agreement. Okay? It doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual. Say your husband's not saved and you're the spouse that's saved, and but you both need you need a car because you're tired of walking. You both want a car, you're in agreement. Okay? That's you don't have to make that, you know. Basically, if you're the believing spouse, whether it's flipped or whatever, you can show how good the kingdom is because of God's favor on you and the blessing on your life. But it isn't always a spiritual thing, and it's better if you're on the same page. You're better if you're both saved. I get it. But let them see the kingdom. Just love them and pray for them. Okay, Brett, if I'm not married, who do I agree with? You agree with the word. Just agree with what the word says. First Peter talks about being in agreement with your spouse so you're not hindered, so you want to keep that in mind. And here's the last one. See, we're on the last one. Once you have the plan, number five, go and do it. Once you have all that, once you have, here's the plan, here's the location, here's what I'm doing, blah, 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 you need to go and do it, because let me listen to what I'm saying, because when you have all of that, the enemy has all that. That's why Jesus said, the first fish you catch, get the coin out of the mouth. If he would have taken 50 fish, the enemy would have went, hey, wait, something's going on with the fish. Something's going on with the fish. He'd have probably sent a kid over there to throw a rock in the water and scare the fish away. Once you have the plan, and this is the thing about Christians. We are terrible in the past about procrastinating. I've got the T-shirt on it. So, again, not throwing stones. But procrastinators unite tomorrow. That's what we do. We just put everything off, but we need to go and do what God has told us to do. The enemy will try to steal the plan. He'll try to get you off track. Pay attention to fragments. My wife was just telling me yesterday, she said this and this. She goes, babe, those are fragments. And I'm just like, God, you just reconfirm so many different things all the time. Pay attention to the fragments, because fragments make a difference. Remember when they fed all those people? They had 12 baskets. That's a lot of food. Fragments. You know, most people, when I was working and helping Pastor Gary, we get people out of debt. You know how we did it? Fragments. Does that sound silly? People are like, oh, okay, we need to build up a reserve. How do we do that? Let's have a garage sale. You'd be surprised what you could sell and then put money in your savings and be like, because if something breaks, you're going to have to pull somewhere to get it. Or use it as seed, whatever you want to do, sowing and reaping. But, I mean, figure out what to do with the fragments. David defeats Goliath, and this is in 1 Samuel, and he's followed, 400 men follow him into the cave of Adullam. And he became their leader. He demonstrated the kingdom. He didn't nominate himself. People are looking for answers, not just from the preacher, from you in their neighborhood. What's that look like? So David ends up just obtaining all these guys. They were his mighty men. They were his disciples. Where are your disciples? You might say, well, my kids. And that's good, because our kids were our disciples. And, you know, but besides that, beyond your house, who are you reaching? People are watching. Can you demonstrate the kingdom? What do you believe? Just because you say, what are you standing on? What if God told you, put another burger on, take it over to your neighbor? Well, God, but I wanted to. Are you going to do that? Or are you just going to argue? So you start doing what he says. Now, these same guys, these 400 guys, in all of these conquests for the temple, listen to this. In today's standards, they gave over $17 billion. Where'd they get that money? I mean, they're in. I'll tell you where they got it. From conquering city after city after city. Every little bit at a time. Remember we talked last week? God will give you what you can handle. And you move on. The conflict, God will turn it out for your good. Just because there's conflict doesn't mean God is not in it. I'm going to say it again. Just because there's conflict doesn't mean God is not in it. It might mean God is in it and the enemy's just fighting you. But if the enemy can get you scared and get you to stop, it's your promotion. Make no mistake. God gets the glory. Don't take it. That's God's. But you get the blessing. I'm going to come down here because we're finishing here now. Believe that? Looky there. I appreciate your attention. Listen to what I'm saying. When we move in the Spirit, the enemy wants you to stop. Kim and I one time we were told to spiritually cleanse a church. Seems like a big job, but yet God in you is bigger than anything. And so we got a couple people with us. We went back to the back of the sanctuary. We put our hands like this, and we just started praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Just start praying in the Spirit. There was a lady there that found out she was a practicing witch. Isn't that fun? And she came in. Now, we didn't announce that we were doing that. She came in and she came up to me. I'm just cutting this story. And she's telling me, stop! Shrieking, stop. I'm not stopping. I don't even acknowledge it. I'm just looking at her and I'm just shaking. And she is just walking back. I just walked her out the door. I never touched her. Didn't have to. I don't believe I ever saw her back in church again. That was it. Beloved, listen to me. Greater is he that's in me and you than he that's in the world. And the sooner that we get on board with nuts and bolts of how to make this thing happen, this isn't so that you can get rich. This is so that we can spread the kingdom of God and bless people and help people and bring a place, you know, that people can come and they can get the help they need. They can get the word of God. They can get delivered. They can get saved. They can get healed. Come on, somebody. I mean, God, he's got big plans, not just for this, but for you. And people are watching. They want to know, how'd that happen? I'm doing my best. I'm not trying to mess with you, but I'm just trying to tell you, those are the five things that we do. And I have fruit to back it up. So I could tell you, I'm making it up. I'm not making it up. Those deer stories are as true as I'm telling you. Why did they stay there? What brought them? Why would a deer lay down and wait on me to wake up? That's almost stupid in the natural world, but they're held there by spiritual law. And how did that happen? I put it into effect. When you agree with the word of God, you bring the kingdom into your life and that situation. And now he's in there. God never loses. Did you hear me? So you just have to yield to the Lord. Don't take it back. Don't mess with it. Just let God do what he's going to do. and be the servant he wants you to be. I can't stress enough. I mean, sometimes it's, I'm going to talk next week about the power of the measure, because people ask me, well, I don't know how much to sow. Sometimes it's not always money. It might be your time. I don't know. The Lord will show you that. It might be more money than you want to because you have a choke point. I sold a car, a lot of money. We were going to remodel the boys' room, and God said, give it all. I'm like, I rebuke that. Because remember, I'm the guy that had the $10 that didn't even want it. Don't tell me to sell thousands of dollars. But I had to let the word do its work. I had to get alone and just hear the word of God and get that peace. And then once you get the peace, the enemy's going to come. And then once you sow it, he's going to say, you never should have did that. It is written. That's what you answer him with. The word, it is written. You shut up. You don't have any voice here. It is written. On this day, I sowed, I received. You don't have any part in this. And you rejoice. Bow your heads, close your eyes.